We're live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. The Sacramento City Council will vote tonight on a $1.2 billion proposed budget. It includes several new projects that will be funded by a budget surplus. Meanwhile, the Sacramento City Unified School District is on the brink of having a budget rejected by the County Office of Education. Joining us today to talk about those spending priorities and much more is Mayor Daryl Steinberg. Welcome back to Insight.
Good to be with you, Randall. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with, and people can probably hear the Sacramento Bee here, front page of the Bee. Currently, the way it works in Sacramento, the city manager creates the budget, right?
Correct.
And there's a term for that. They say weak mayor, right?
Well, it's a city manager form of government, they call it. And it has been the way we've done it for a long time in Sacramento. We have a great city manager, by the way, in Howard Chan. And he and I work very, very well together. Today's front page of the Bee speaks about a poll that I did that asked the voters in Sacramento whether they would consider a series of changes. And I have no present plans to go to the ballot. But I think it is a debate and a discussion that should be had in Sacramento, not whether the current mayor should be considered a strong mayor. I think I act as a strong mayor.
The change would put you in charge of the budget.
The change would. This year's budget was really interesting. You know, usually the budget is a rather dull affair. Nobody comes to the city. Few people come to the city council chambers. Not that it's pro forma. It's always important, but it doesn't attract a lot of public attention. Not this year. Because last November, I led a campaign to not only extend the half-cent sales tax in Sacramento,
known as
Measure U, but to add a half-cent. Uh-huh. And I campaigned saying that if we get the second half cent, I want to ensure that most of it is invested in what I call inclusive economic development, in job creation, in youth, in affordable housing, in revitalizing our blighted commercial corridors, in our neighborhoods.
So how do you do that when you're not the person putting the budget together?
Well, I do it by being able to count to five, frankly, and being able to use my bully pulpit to lay out a vision, which I have done, and then marshaling the community behind that vision and getting a majority of support from the city council. And that's exactly what we did.
And there are a couple of city council members who are not thrilled with the projects that you laid out because there were none in their districts.
Well, it wasn't so much that. There were a couple of members who didn't like the approach. Here's the debate, Randall, in Sacramento. So what I said was that if we use the second half cent different than what I promised as mayor to fund the basic city services, the cost of increased pensions and the cost of increased salaries, by the way, obligations that we will always uphold because we respect the men and women who work for the city, especially those who are on the front lines around public safety, that the $50 million, which represents the second half cent, would literally be gone in 3 years. And so I said, we must set aside at least $40 million of that $50 million over 5 years to ensure that we've got an economic development equity fund to be able to invest in housing, in our neighborhoods, in job creation, in our young people. And that was the outline of the debate. And I'm pleased to say that the strong majority of the city council backed this vision. And we didn't do it alone. What was so heartening is that the business community, most of organized labor, and what I call the equity community, the community-based organizations that serve so many of our neighborhoods, they came out in force. And they said that we've waited long enough. How much longer does Stockton Boulevard have to wait until we make some investment? Same with Del Paso Boulevard. How long do we have to wait for a full scale library in North Sacramento? How long do we have to wait until we put real money into affordable housing so that people can, working people can afford to live here? And so we won and we landed in the right place. And tonight will be a very important vote. And I don't want to overstate it, but in some ways a historic vote because it represents a shift in direction around what defines a core obligation of our city? It includes investing in neighborhoods and its people.
You mentioned support from organized labor, but Sacramento Area Firefighters Local 522 calls your plan to spend the millions by issuing bonds dangerous and reckless. They say you don't have data to back up an expanding tax base, and they question whether it could bankrupt the city. How would you respond to that?
They're plain wrong. And I'll tell you why. First of all, the controversy over a bond. There is nothing new about city government or government bonding to invest in capital projects in a city.
This is so you can spend Measure U money that hasn't come in yet.
Well, in a sense, it is securitizing what they call bonding against a portion of the revenue, not all of it, in order to create the capital to be able to establish an affordable housing fund so that we can build more units of affordable housing, to be able to make capital improvements on Stockton and Franklin Boulevard, to be able to invest in small business opportunities like the Mercado, which is this incredibly exciting project, a Latin American restaurant business incubator that my colleagues are planning for Franklin Boulevard. They've done this in Portland. It's created hundreds of jobs, produced millions of dollars of business, 20 new restaurants.
This is like at Franklin and Fruit Ridge?
Yes. We want to enliven the corridors like Franklin Boulevard. It takes real capital. But let me just give you a brief history. In 2006, the city issued a $100 million bond, a public facilities bond, to fund the new City Hall and the George Sim Community Center in South Sacramento and other projects. We're bonding to build and rebuild the Convention Center and the Memorial Auditorium. This is not some foreign concept. The firefighters, who I have supported my entire career and believe that they are a vital part of our city, public safety must always come first, are frustrated, I think, because they are used to having the final say. And they are used to most of the money going directly to them. And what I'm saying here is maybe a little sophisticated and a little bit more long-term thinking that we're what we're used to here is, but if we're going to sustain the level of public safety services that people rightfully demand, we need to build a broader tax base. And we need to invest in these neighborhoods that are dragging down our tax base, where people don't have the same opportunity to have a high-wage job, the same opportunity to live in quality housing, the same ability to be able to walk to a restaurant or to have a night out on the town.
Mayor,
neighborhoods matter.
What happens if we issue these bonds based on projections for Measure U and we go into an economic downturn, as many economists have predicted?
Well, first of all, the bonding strategy that the council is going to approve tonight, and I want to thank my colleague Steve Hansen, who came up with, I think, a very smart way to approach this, is we're going to do it incrementally. We will only bond essentially $5 to $8 million at a time. And we will only bond when there are specific projects that the council believes are important enough to invest in.
That include the Aquatic Center in Natomas?
Well, of course it could. And the Aquatic Center, I know, became the controversy. And I should say right now that I support the project. I think it's a great project.
$16 million?
The challenge is this, though, and it's again, sort of a three-dimensional point, but it's very important, that if we are going to make the decision to set aside $40 million a year for 5 years, which I have called for, then we have room and capacity to be able to invest in capital projects throughout the city with an emphasis on the disadvantaged neighborhoods, but not to the exclusion of a good project like the Natomas Aquatic Center. We could get that done. If we are going to have a fight at the council and in the community year after year about whether or not to set aside these kinds of resources long term, then it is hard to argue that an aquatic center especially given that it was the most expensive project put forward on my short list.
And by a lot, right?
And by a lot, seven times more than anything I put forward. It's hard to argue that that project should be prioritized over a new library in North Sacramento or the Martin Luther King Library in South Sacramento or the Mercado or La Familia or any of the other, or the Urban League or any of the other important projects that also need funding. I think we can get this, the Aquatic Center, done along with many other projects if we are committed to a long-term investment strategy for our neighborhoods.
Okay, let's move on to the city's schools. The Sacramento City Unified School District has been struggling, I guess, to put it mildly, with its budget. It's very complicated. What is your role in the whole process?
Well, I had a role back in late 2017 when the teachers were going to go on strike. I was asked by the parties to come in and to help mediate a settlement. I did. We avoided a strike. The teachers got essentially an 11% increase over 3 years. And then soon thereafter, the county superintendent said, time out. The district has long-term debt obligations, and that if they do not rein in costs in a very significant way, that the district could go into receivership.
A takeover by the state.
Yes. And so the drama, if you will, over the last number of months has been about many things, but one of the central issues is whether or not the district and the teachers' union can come together to agree on how to save money on the health care benefit side, and then where to direct that money. And what I've said is that while the goal must be for all the parties to direct any savings from health care into improving the schools, into reducing the class sizes, into hiring more librarians and counselors, that the parties first need to avoid receivership, and they need to balance the budget. Now, the good news and the bad news is that because the district has made a series of cuts over the months, the receivership is not immediate.
It was looking like it was going to happen this month, and now maybe October 2020.
October 2020, which is good news, obviously. But where I say it's slightly not so good news is that I hope that it doesn't remove the urgency for the parties to actually sit down and grapple with the long-term challenges that this district faces. This is, again, maybe a little like the Measure U debate, maybe a little bit different. But if the parties can reach a balanced budget and agree that and come together.
Could it take a parcel tax to do that?
Well, they will have much more opportunity over the long term to be able to actually invest new resources back into the schools, which is what everybody wants. But they first have to deal with the deficit. So is a parcel tax part of the solution? I watched what happened in Los Angeles.
I was going to ask you about that.
In Los Angeles, my colleague Mayor Garcetti proposed a parcel tax, and it got less than 50% of the vote. And I'm not exactly—
And it needs two-thirds.
It needs two-thirds. Here in Sacramento, I can tell you this. While a parcel tax might be something that we should consider, and I would certainly get behind it, it is not the time. It is not the time until the parties actually come to an agreement and the public sees that all the stakeholders are working closely together.
We're talking with Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg about a variety of things, including the budget that will be voted on tonight. It's been 2 years this month, Mayor, since the city of Sacramento announced its partnership with Verizon to bring 5G technology to the city, making it one of the first locations in the nation to have that technology. And if you don't know, 5G is ultra high-speed internet service, which has the potential anyway to drive tech innovation, including self-driving cars. But coverage at this point is sparse throughout the city, and there's a potential lawsuit, I understand, that could further slow progress. What is the city doing to get this project rolling? What have you agreed to with Verizon?
Well, we have agreed to a framework, and the framework allows Verizon to be able to set up its small cell and its 5G network in various parts of the city. And in exchange, the city gets significant infrastructure investment from Verizon around broadband. And it also commits Verizon to engaging in our 1,000-strong project, which is our effort to create hundreds and ultimately thousands of year-round paid work experiences for high school students. But it is the beginning of a partnership. And yes, there is a lawsuit from a competitor who does not like the arrangement. We've always said that this is not a sole source. We would invite any other major company, technology company in the Sacramento with the right terms to engage with us. What we want is infrastructure and access for our residents. And in exchange, we'll relax some of our permitting requirements and we'll make it easier for good telecom advances to locate within our city. So it is the beginning, not the end.
Is the delay frustrating any potential partnerships with tech companies that want to relocate here?
I don't think so. I don't think so. These things take a while to get going. One of the things I found about government in general is that everything takes a little bit longer than you want it to. And so I have this philosophy. I always say, gotta be impatiently patient. Have to be impatient in that you always got to drive. Every day, get up and drive the agenda and drive the progress. At the same time, you have to be patient because things take a little bit longer than you like. We don't live in a dictatorship, thankfully, in our city or in our country.
Right. Mayor Steinberg, when you were on Insight back in March after the mass arrests at the demonstration in East Sacramento over D.A. Schubert's announcement that the officers involved in the Stephon Clark shooting would not be charged, you indicated there were some communication issues between you, the city manager, Chan, and Police Chief Hahn. Do you feel you've been able to make progress on that front?
I do.
New lines of communication?
I do. I think things are going very, very well. I was especially proud of the city manager and the police chief this last week in the way they dealt with the controversy over the Pride parade and the agreement that was reached to respect the painful history around the LGBTQ community and law enforcement, not locally, just locally, but nationally as well, but at the same time, forge a path forward. And I was very proud that the men and women in uniform who represent the LGBT community and represent the police force were marching. We're marching in uniform, and I think that's a credit to the chief and the manager in terms of the way they handled it. But if I could get back to all of that, all of those issues around Stephon Clark, around the protests, around the frustrations, come back around again to this latest chapter around Measure U, because you know, the fight is interesting, but I think it is important to remember what it is we were fighting about. And maybe it boils down to statistics like this, that 3/4 of the new jobs here in the Sacramento region require a high level of digital skills. And yet only 18% of Latinos and African Americans in our region have 4-year degrees, and only half go beyond high school. We've got an economic divide in this city. And unless we are intentional about addressing that and investing in our disadvantaged communities in the right ways, by fostering small business, by creating more economic opportunities, by making sure that people have affordable places to live, by investing in career pathways for our young people, we're going to build out this Aggie Square with UC Davis in the Med Center neighborhood in Oak Park. And the real test is going to be whether or not we create a workforce pathway system for our young people from South Sacramento and beyond.
Because people are concerned it could push out people in that neighborhood, but the plan anyway, as you've stated, is to lift up the people in that neighborhood.
The G word is not allowed in Sacramento, the word gentrification. It's a risk. We know it. We've seen it. We've looked at what's happened in the Bay Area. We've got, it's one of the reasons why investing in these communities in an affordable housing strategy is so important, because we can have both job growth, new industry, we must have that, and at the same time, not push people out, not in Sacramento.
Are there specific projects that the city is working on following the demands of the Build Black campaign right after Stephon Clark?
Well, that's what my controversial budget letter was about last week, which shouldn't have been controversial because it actually showed what's possible with these new resources. You know, a year ago, six, 7 months ago, there were three or four things a weekend for young people in our communities to be able to attend on a Friday or Saturday night. Now we are investing in, through Measure U, in these pop-ups, which are community-led but city-collaborative youth events, 10 to 15 places every Friday and Saturday night.
Throughout the city.
Mm-hmm. And now we're funding them. We're funding them year-round. We're going to provide $1 million by free transit passes for all Sacramento youth, thanks to my colleague, Jay Chenier. We are going to, we've invested in the Cal Skate Project down off Mack Road in South Sacramento, which is going to be a great place of a gathering for young people and families in the South Sacramento community. But there's so much more to come. I talked about Mercado, Marysville Grand South, the project planned by the Urban League for Del Paso Heights. There's the La Familia Opportunity Center.
Mayor, I only have a couple of minutes left,
yes,
and I want to get to a topic that really requires longer than that. But you had the governor's new commission on homelessness.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've seen the latest numbers out of L.A. showing a 16% rise in the number of people living on the streets there just in the past year alone. Sacramento's point in time numbers are due out soon, as I understand,
yes,
unless you've already seen them and can share them.
I have not, but I am going to say in a very upfront way to your listeners that when those numbers come back in a couple weeks, I predict they're going to go up as well, because that's the trend throughout the entire state. And people will look at that and say, oh, my God, what's happening? You've been mayor for 2 years. I understand that. But let me be clear about a couple of things. My strategy is to create 800 beds, low barrier triage, to combined with our assertive outreach through our whole person care project, to get 2,500 people off the streets.
This is in the rail yards area?
Well, it was Railroad Avenue was the first one, but we're going to build these throughout the city. We've got the funding to do it. It's taking more time, to my frustration, than I like. Let me tell you the key to the shelter strategy here. So people look at it and say, well, why hasn't it happened? Well, I am pushing as hard as I can. We proved the concept off of Railroad Avenue. We got hundreds of people in a permanent housing. And now we need to replicate this 3, 4, 5 times around the city. And we've got the funding to do it. It's going to take another 6 to 9 months before we have these tents, military-style tents, and or hotels like the Capitol Park Hotel on 9th and L Streets up, and we have the full system in gear. Here's why it's important. Not only is it the right thing to do to help get people off the streets, but having the shelter will enable our law enforcement officials to be able to enforce the law where people are acting in ways that are negative for the community and the neighborhoods. There are too many tents all around. People should not be living outside. But we cannot make people live inside until we have the actual capacity to be able to offer them a bed. That's what the law says, and that's what common sense says. So we're going to stick to building the capacity. We're going to get thousands of people off the streets. And at the same time, we'll be able to then enforce the law for people who, for whatever reason, don't want to come in. And so the numbers are going up. But give me another 2 years to bring our plan to scale, and then we'll see what the numbers look like.
Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg, as always, thank you so much, Mayor, for being here on Insight with us today.
Thank you so much, Randall. Enjoyed it.
And we have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight. This is your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.